Hey guys, welcome back to another week of Autastic, your comedian's guide to autism. I'm one of your hosts, Kirk Smith, and here as always, my co-host,
Graham K. How are you guys? I hope you're well. It's a rhetorical question. You get it.
Graham K. out in the high seas this week, doing some pirate duty out there, doing some entertaining of the.
Yes, performing stand-up comedy on a Royal Caribbean cruise.
Ooh.
It's a tough life. Tough life. But yeah.
Where are
you
this week?
Had a very busy summer.
Bahamas? Where are you at this week?
I am going to be in St. Martin, and then I'm going to be in Labadee, Haiti, and then I'm going to be... I don't know. I don't remember what the third one is, but something warm.
Nice.
So, you know, yeah, pretty good.
Could be worse. Could be worse. Could be worse.
Yeah.
That's great.
I had a 6 a.m. flight leaving from LaGuardia Airport.
Ooh, yikes.
And on Sunday, which is like always a nightmare. I never sleep because you got to wake up at 4. And then I booked a weekend at Helium Comedy Club in Philadelphia, which is it's 2 hours from New York. But the last show is on Saturday night, and I had to bring my luggage from the hotel.
Oh, right.
I had to pack for 2 weeks, bring it to Philadelphia. Last show, had to get off stage, walk out, walk to the bus station, and get on the bus because there's no trains at that time. And I took a bus to New York, and then
a bus. Why are you bragging so much?
I know. Oh my God! They let a homeless guy on that was like covered in poo. I don't know why.
Perfect.
Jam-packed bus. There is this European lady who was last on, and she would not sit beside him, and she just stayed in Philadelphia.
Really. That's funny.
Yeah. And then went straight to LaGuardia Airport, slept like 2 hours on the plane, couldn't sleep on the bus because it's like an absolute zoo in there. And then now I'm on a boat. So
I think that'd be a great podcast for you, Graham K's Bus Chronicles, and you just narrate what's happening on the bus. I think it could be really interesting.
I could. It would just mostly be loud teenagers texting and talking at full volume at 1 a.m. while everyone's sleeping and just being completely oblivious. And then on the other end, just a bunch of homeless people.
Now the wedgie master bumped into homeless person number two, and there appears to be some interaction here. Ladies and gentlemen, this could be the first scuffle here on the ground.
Yeah. Real fun ride. I totally recommend it. Totally recommend it. And Greyhound is a great company. They say they have Wi-Fi and they have plugs. And then as soon as the bus starts going, the plugs stop working.
Oh, cool.
It was really, really cool feature. So phone didn't work. And I can't sleep because it's on, you know, I'm on a moving really hot box of farts down a highway. It's not a good sleep scenario.
Man.
So... All that being said, please donate to patreon.com/autastic so
guys,
I don't have to take
to
these gigs anymore.
What this is, your comedian's guide to autism. We are two comedians.
That.
We are not scientists. We do not have autism. I don't think, maybe, you know, everybody's part of the spectrum, but specifically my son, who's 19, is severely autistic, and Graham K has a brother, 33, who's on the higher functioning part of the old spectrum.
Yeah, and, I don't know if he's on the higher functioning. I mean, he could never go to school, but he's doing well. He's functioning. He's a functioning member. Yeah, he's an almost functioning member of society. He
does
can
his
live
own
alone.
Laundry.
Does it? He loves laundry. They call him Laundry Boy at his apartment building.
There are worse nicknames. I'll take it.
Yeah, there are totally are worse nicknames. He's 34 now, Kirk. He's getting up there.
Wow. That's right. Yeah. I forgot that. I missed that birthday. My bad.
Yeah, he's a millennial. I'm not. I'm off the cusp. I'm like 8 months not a millennial.
I think, what are you, the Eddie DeLisseppi's joke? You're the last millennial, which is just a guy walking around with an original iPod. Like, does anybody have a cord for this?
That's a good joke. I haven't heard that. Yeah.
That's funny. My week in review, I am headed off to Sweden in 2 weeks to see my boy, and we're planning a little vacation. So we are I'm gonna take him over to Estonia, it looks like, to Tallinn, I believe, Tallinn. And yeah, I'm pretty pumped.
Why Estonia? Because the boat goes there and he likes the water, as we discussed in the last
podcast.
Well,
he really likes the water, and so we could do Finland. I've done Finland a few times. Finnish people are not exactly known for their warmth, hospitality, or food. And so it's a very Russian feel. And Estonia, I've never been to.
Sorry, Finns.
They know that. That's not really an insult. That's just not one of their go-to things. They're known for technology, intelligence, and I think high suicide rates, to be perfectly honest.
Yes.
And saunas.
They're very good hockey players.
Very good hockey players. That. Yeah, what is it, like 3 million people, and they've got a third of the NHL?
They're up there.
I think Estonia would be a little bit cheaper. I don't think he cares, and it sounded a little more interesting to me. Helsinki is a little bit, I don't know, it's okay. It's, yeah, not, I'm not crapping on Helsinki, it's fine, but.
Sounds like you are. Sounds like you're xenophobic.
No, that's not what's happening. I looked at a beach.
You're the first person to ever take a strong stand against the Finns.
And the strong stand is they're just not very friendly.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah.
This is terrible. Like, all the world travelers are going to be horrified by this, but we're probably going to eat at McDonald's a few times because that's his favorite spot. And so it's his vacation. And I want him to have fun. And so, we're going to.
Oh, all the people that are there are going to be like, typical Americans,
exactly.
Eating McDonald's, and like, no, he's very autistic.
I just want to be happy, just have his
leave
french
us
fries,
alone.
Have his little,
yeah. Yeah.
But
that's awesome. Well, this is the kind of a podcast where our listeners totally understand where you're coming from.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's he's got McDonald's is good. Like, we just all get over ourselves for a second. It's good.
It's not nutritious, but it is delicious. Yeah.
No, I had a Big Mac the other day for the first time in 8 years, and I was like, man, I have been lying to myself.
You're like, not terrible, not terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Is anyone one of our sponsors now? Am I just coming to this realization right now? I wasn't aware.
We're a non-for-profit podcast giving big evil corporations free advertising.
Yeah, free so plug to one of the largest multinationals on the planet.
We're breaking the mold. We're breaking
oh,
the
brother.
Mold.
Well, yeah. should we do it in the news?
Yes, let's do in the news. Since I don't really have a weekend update or a week update. I thought I was on Saturday Night Live for a second there. I don't really have a week update myself. My brother is just chugging along. He's doing great. I saw something on Instagram, and I thought of you, and I thought of your lovely son, and I sent it to you. And I thought it was a BBC little thing, and I thought you might be interested. Do you want to tell our listeners what it was?
Yeah, I'm going to share it now on my Instagram, guys. You can follow me on Instagram at Kirk Smith Comedy. But basically, it is a new wristband that the underneath part looks a little bit like an iWatch. Where it's got the little green lights and red lights. But the wristband is to help manage people with severe autism or help people with severe autism manage, and it's
your son is nonverbal. You know, if you he can't
yes.
communicate verbally, and so you don't know what makes him anxious. You know,
yeah,
so this sort of helps monitor that. Right,
this monitors heart rate and sweat and a few other things, and it helps you to know his stress and anxiety level. So you can at least know that he's upset about something. It still doesn't pinpoint what, but if he's upset, then that's not the time to take him to try a new restaurant. That's the time to switch him back to McDonald's and get him his stuff that he likes, that he's familiar with. And the man, who's probably 50 in this video with autism, some of the manners was reminding my son. Now, you know, obviously this man's a lot older, but some of the things where like the mom tries to wipe his nose and he like pulls away and stuff, that stuff reminds me of my son. It's really funny.
Right, yeah.
Pretty funny.
I love, but how that, those parents were so great. Like, they're probably 70 and just, it's just always, you love your son, you love your kid no matter what, you know. They were not woe is me people.
No.
Yeah, that's one of the things I took away from that, which I liked.
It is funny, you know, too, how like people age at different rates, because yeah, the parents looked good.
The parents looked good.
Really good. Yeah, it's like, huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all look about the same age is what it looks like. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, you'd think that it would stress you out and you'd look older.
Kind of, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's a
plain... It's weird because you look younger than how old you are.
That's true, too.
You should be... You should look like hell.
Well, I go on the inside.
All the things you've been through. Yeah, yeah. Somehow you look great. I don't know how.
That's the video playing in the background. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening either.
Yeah. Maybe it just gives you, having a child with severe autism gives you superpowers or something. You're just so resilient. The out things like the politics and stuff is not stressing you as much because you have, you're busy. You know?
Well, it is true. Like, sometimes I'll hear these political stories, I'll be like, oh, that's terrible. Anyhow, I need to figure out how I'm going to take care of him when he's 50.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
You're like, you acknowledge it, but it's like, yeah, I've got bigger fish to fry right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, we have two in the news this week. And the second one is from Spectrum News, which we've covered a few times. Spectrumnews.org.
Mm-hmm.
And the title is... It's written by Oscar Miranda Dominguez, which if all these were in Spanish, this podcast would be so much simpler. But
you love that.
The title is
How
Unique
Cocky
Brain.
You were when you said his name. Jeez.
Wait, what did you say? What did you say?
How cocky that was when you said his name.
It's a lot, like, of confidence. A lot of confidence.
If you don't know, if you're not a longtime listener, Kirk grew up in Ecuador and speaks perfect Spanish. And because he grew up in Ecuador, he has trouble reading simple English names. And anything that is a little European, forget it. He's toast.
But just to be clear, simple European names are Polish names with a bunch of letters next to each other that are not phonetic. And then one of them silent. And then, well, that one doesn't mean that. And you're like, oh, cool. So, yeah.
I don't know. John Smith is European, and you wrestle with that one.
Why is the H silent? That's what I want to know. Yeah. Why is the H silent?
Your last name is Smith.
Fair enough. The title of this is Unique Brain Fingerprints May Narrow Search for Autism Subtypes. This is something we've discussed at length on this podcast about how wide the spectrum is and the vastly different experiences that that different members of society are having. Okay, so... For almost a decade, the National Institute of Health has been supporting research into the quote-unquote human connectome, unquote, the collection of information or pathways in the brain that coordinate sensation, emotion, action, and thought. The goal is to better understand how 100 billion cells of the brain work together to perform as the brain's many functions. These complex interactions shed light on the moment-to-moment activity of a typical brain, as well as how this activity may go awry in conditions such as autism. One way scientists study these networks is by mapping the brain activity. They can put people in functional magnetic resonance imaging, MRIs or fMRI machines, and ask them to stare for several minutes at an X projected on the screen. In this way, they can determine which far-flung brain regions are talking to each other and which are not when the mind is at rest. Investigators study, I'm probably saying this word wrong, but connectome. Anyway, we should have Jill read this one. This word, come in, read a word, and then hang up the phone. But have mapped brain activities in thousands of typical adults, and they found that many of the commonalities are shared across people. However, they've also learned that communication networks of the brain can be unique to the individual. We reported earlier this year that these individual brain networks remain fixed in individuals across time. And may be partly genetic, and they may also yield insights into autism. When applied to someone on the spectrum, individual brain fingerprints can help us identify patterns of brain activity that characterize subtypes of condition. It goes on to explain that basically the different ways the brain can look. Okay, so here we go. Redefining autism. Our work in connect the types and family relationships may help us understand the biological basis of autism and devise tailored treatments. We talk about autism as a spectrum because people with the condition display disparate levels of ability. Some are nonverbal, others are university professors. Once we have more insight into what is going on within the brains of people with autism, we can learn what we call autism is actually a hodgepodge of conditions that manifest similarly but result from vastly different processes.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this. That really, it's. I think in the future they're going to talk about some of it being more genetic, some of it's more of a GI issue, some of it's more of a...
I'm not sure I understood this article, to be honest with you. Can you summarize it for me?
It's saying that when you run an MRI, the brain activity is going to be different for every different person. And so they're going to be able to run an MRI on your brain and based on the activity, say you have this kind of autism, quote unquote, and you should think about doing these sorts of things to address it. Versus, because like I think, for example, what's affecting someone high functioning like Bill Gates and what's affecting my son are vastly different. And if you run their brains, I'm sure it's going to show that, you know, it's a vastly different experience.
Yeah.
And so that would help.
I think
so. That would help with, you know, with a higher functioning person, you'd be able to.
Sure.
I guess the downside would be it might limit somebody who's like, well, we ran the scan. It shows that he's going to be severely disabled. So let's not even do the ABA because it's not going to work.
But it could work. There'll be another study comes out 5 years later that said ABA does work on those people. And you should have been doing it all along, and then that
it just takes longer.
Screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tough one.
Tough one. Man, life's hard, huh?
Well, as always, let us know what you think. Should we do the letters this week?
Let's do some letters. We haven't done letters in a while.
Okay, letters. We got a lovely note last year from Dean L, who has two boys
last
diagnosed.
Last year?
Yeah, but I'm going to read the update to it. But we originally got a letter from him last year. He moved from Hong Kong back to Melbourne, and longtime listeners know. Well, I can highlight some of it. Support funding for the people with autism makes life dual. But talks about that the... support in Melbourne is pretty good. It's pretty good. So he's followed up with an article that came out in this week's ABC Australia. You know, I'm just reading this, Graham. We can cut this later if we decide this is not fitting our demographic. But he sent us an article from ABC Australia that talks about the dangers for people with autism are usually greatest from their caregiver, that someone with a disability is killed by their carer every 3 months in Australia.
Oh,
so
great.
So it just highlights, no, but it talks to what we talked about earlier, that if you need help, to get help. If you feel like you're overwhelmed, to always reach out, never be ashamed to ask for help, never be ashamed to feel like it's overwhelming or that you can't do it and you need somebody to help you. It's always better to speak up than to just suffer in silence.
And you're speaking to the potential murderer caregiver.
What's that?
You're speaking directly to the person who's snapping and might kill the.
Yeah, because what's happening is not it's not an act of violence or robbery
murder.
Or no, they feel overwhelmed. They feel like they're the only person that can care for the person.
Right.
And then they get discouraged and like, well, I should end my life and then I can't abandon him because he'll be even worse off, which is honestly a little bit selfish. You don't know what the world has for him. But secondly, if you need help, look for help and then enlist other people to reach out to you. I mean, this is a study from Australia. This isn't, Nigeria where there's no resources or, you know, somewhere where there's just very, very limited resources and extreme poverty in the highlands of India. This is in Australia where there's a social safety net and there's, there's people that care. And there's, you've got to reach out and don't give up. Yeah, it sounds a little patronizing, but it comes from a good place and from a place of personal experience. So
absolutely, yeah. That's what I was going to say. And I mean, I hope you don't mind me bringing it up, but
no, bring it up.
As our longtime listeners already know, and maybe our new listeners don't, Kirk's ex-wife, Lorena, and mother of your son, took her own life last year. You know, she was also already predisposed to depression, but it doesn't help to have a son with autism who's severe. You know, it's tough. And so, yeah, look for
and
help.
I go
you know what you're talking about is why I bring it up. You know,
yeah,
what you're
I go through
about.
These thoughts every day where everybody, you know, people, the same things that other people struggle with the guilt or the, like, I could have done this. I should have tried this, but, it's never, yeah. The solution is never termination of a life. That's not the, mm-hmm. Yeah, we're all going to die anyway eventually. So just let it play out. Let it take its course.
Yeah.
And there's no need to rush it. It'll come for you. Just
you heard it here first, folks.
You're dying.
We're all going to die.
No, but I think that's one of the things. And, you know, Lorena and I talked about many times. She was a guest of the podcast. She, you know, so it's one thing to know it, and it's another thing to do it. And so, you know, and again, it's not, this isn't like shaming people with depression. This isn't like, there's no judgment. It's just a reminder that there is love, that people care, and to seek help.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, next one. This one can't be as bad or as sad. in all seriousness, Dean, thank you so much for your note.
Yeah, thank you, Dean.
This is from Catherine T.S. I almost said the middle name. Ordered your book today, and it came. So excited to read it. I wanted to share with both you and Graham that my nephew, Jack, graduated yesterday from Bays Achievement Center in Huntsville, Texas. He's 22 now, and his determination and hard
awesome.
Work has brought him here. I'm about to burst. I'm so proud of him. Like JJ,
oh,
he's
awesome.
Nonverbal and maybe two or three words and a big boy, !! Thank you so much, guys, for your podcast and your friendship. It means everything. Yeah, that big boy is code for he's a man's man. Yeah,
he likes to eat.
He likes to eat. Likes his food, man. He likes his food.
Yeah.
We got another share here. This is from Sarah Z.
Don't say the last name, Kirk. I know you want to. Don't say the
I
last
wanted
name.
To. It's a
you
tough
can't
one
help
too.
Yourself.
I couldn't get it right anyway. You still couldn't figure out what I was trying to say.
Kirk can't help himself. He loves to read the last name. He can't help himself.
This is from Sarah Z. Kirk and Graham, here's a long discussion about autistic person versus person with autism. Suffice it to say, you might not want to spend any more time flogging yourself for saying autistic. Love the podcast. And this is from the autist. She posts an article.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Sarah. I appreciate that. I need to hear that.
Oof. She posted an article on the Facebook, our Facebook homepage from the Autism Self-Advocacy Network. And it basically breaks it down and the pluses and minuses from both of them. And yeah, it's a very interesting article. If you don't already know, we do have a Facebook page, Autistic Podcast. You can like it. You can share it. The best way this podcast grows is just by sharing, honestly. People listen to it and tag their aunts or their cousins. Like, I think you'll get a kick out of this. And Yeah. Okay, next article.
Yeah, if you know anybody who works in the field, or if they are a person with autism, or you know another parent, let them know. Everyone who listens to it likes it, except for a few people. But we don't get a lot of bad. Honestly, it's like, I have to say, let's pat ourselves on our back here. We haven't got some mean letters in a long time.
Knock on wood, it's been 6 months, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's like pretty good. For a podcast about a touchy subject, we're doing pretty good.
That's true. Not terrible.
Most people love it.
If we do say so ourselves. The next comment.
Yeah.
Is in on
that's
the,
a good review. Most people love it.
Says the person who creates it.
Yeah. Well, it's true, though.
It's true. We posted an article that we highlighted in a previous episode from the New York Times about baby teeth and its links with chemical exposure. And Catherine F., commented on our page, the findings here are consistent with our experience. Heavy medication was used to control pre-analapsia for my autistic son's pregnancy. No medication for the other pregnancy and no autism there. Could be a coincidence or there could be a link. It's very interesting. It's very interesting. Then Maureen F. commented on it. Actually, I could probably read these last names because they posted on a public Facebook page. That doesn't matter. I doubt that it could be that simple with so much research going on, but the possibility of a link still might exist. So the crowd's heckling each other. That's always good.
Mm-hmm.
We've got another message from Oakham W., who want to say first, thanks so much for doing what you guys do. You're both awesome. I wanted to comment on your last episode. I really enjoyed it for two reasons. Firstly, my six-year-old son has autism and has dietary issues. At the age of two, he was developing normally, was not vaccinated, but when he was weaned from his mother's milk, he started to eat normal food, such as grain, bread, milk, and eggs. All had a regression much the same as those who had been vaccinated. He went from being able to say his alphabet and numbers and basic animal sounds to being nonverbal, non-responsive to eye contact, and at 2.5, he was diagnosed with ADS. Since then, we have tested, and he is allergic to gluten, dairy, sugar, eggs, and several other things that he was eating on a regular basis. Since the diagnosis, we have had him on a GFCF-free diet. I'm guessing that's gluten-free.
Sugar-free?
Sugar-free with a C?
Oh.
Anyway,
I forgot how you spell sugar for a second.
Sugar, the French spelling of sugar with a C?
Sugar!
Anyway, we've seen great improvement in his overall attitude as well as his educational growth and ability to tolerate and enjoy other people in his proximity. Just finished his first year of kindergarten, is looking forward to next year. Mother was diagnosed with Crohn's disease at 14 and diagnosed with an osteoarthritis after pregnancy. So the article we read was very interesting to us. Yeah, because this was the one about rheumatoid arthritis and its connection to autism, that Lorena suffered from rheumatoid arthritis. Anyway, second, he's still nonverbal, and so we're excited to hear about the mind reading communication, and we'll be contacting the company to see if we qualify as test subjects. That was a reference to the Anders Forsland's company that we researched. Go back a couple episodes, check that out, and we'll be covering that more detail when that technology is available. Thank you so much.
I love that we just connected somebody. I love that we connected people on that. That's so cool to me.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. I'm with you. We've got we
the
shared
podcast works, man.
It's working. It's working. We shared the one he's referencing is the study finds mysterious link between food allergies and autism that we did back June 11th, and that's the article that Oakham is referencing, and we had a few shares of that. It was shared multiple times by multiple people that tagged it on our Facebook page. Okay, next article. We got more comments about the article from June about people making their children drink bleach to treat autism. And Christy C. says, how is this even a thing? To which I would say, yeah, I have no idea how that's a thing. I have no idea how that's a thing. So obviously, if your son has autism or your daughter, do not treat it with bleach. That's not a thing. That's not smart. And that's not healthy for anybody.
No, don't do that. Everything that has been researched about it, science is important. Science matters. Research matters. Tells us that does nothing but hurt your kid. Don't, you know, you're desperate, but don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't. Yeah.
Well, I think we did it. Where are you at this week, Graham? Send us your letters as always. You can email us. You can add us on Facebook. You can. Tag us on Instagram. I am at Kirk Smith Comedy. I will be posting that BBC article today, or reposting it on my Instagram, Kirk Smith Comedy. Check it out there. And my upcoming shows. I will be doing charity work in Ecuador for the next 2 weeks. And then I will be in beautiful Halifax for a weekend. And I'm like, Graham, tell us about your schedule, bud.
Oh, yeah. I was just there. Good times.
How'd you leave that hotel? Is it bad? Am I going to have to do a lot of cleaning up around there?
What do you mean? What do you think? You think I'm Motley Crue? I recorded a couple podcasts in there, made some sandwiches.
Now you're just bragging.
I had a couple beers one night.
Let me ask you this. Did you challenge any of your cousins to a sprint and get injured?
Oh, God. Okay, so I got a cousin up there. He's a good cousin of mine. He's a good friend. You know, we like to party. I went on a bit of a bender, guys, during that trip. I think the last episode we recorded, I was pretty hungover, and I admitted to it on the episode. But I was like, it was Canada Day. We've been drinking all day, July 1st, and you know, when you drink, you're dehydrated. And I'm also not 22 anymore. And it was late in the night, and I get a little. I like to have a foot race. You know, and I was like, let's race to that pole right there. I'm going to kick your butt. And first race, first he goes, we should stretch a bit. I'm like, all right, fine, let's stretch a bit. Whatever. First race, he beats me. And I'm like, I'm better than that. Let's race again. And in my head, I'm like, there's a little tiny voice in the back of my head, like, Graham.
You're 34.
You. I'm 37.
37. Like,
you're like, man, you got away with murder last time. You know, you might hurt yourself. Don't do it. Don't do it. I'm like, I'll be young forever, man. Forget it. And boom. I got a great start this time, Kirk. We were neck and neck. And he's like a natural athlete, you know. And boom, boom, boom. And then right towards the end, it's like somebody shot me with a BB at the back of my leg. I was like, ah. And
how much did he laugh? Be honest.
Everyone laughed. There was a bunch of drunk people watching and laugh. People stopped to watch our race, by the way. Like a good 10 people, just ongoers, onlookers. And it ended at like a patio. There's like a patio of a bar there. And there was a bunch of people watching. And I pulled a hammy pretty bad. Everyone laughed. And I was like, oh, it's going to be bad. And it's pretty bad, guys. There's today I noticed a significant bruising on the outside on my leg, which is kind of gross. So, you know, guys, if there's any advice out there, stretch before you drunkenly race your cousin.
Stretch. That's, do not feed your kids bleach. Stretch out before you run drunkenly through the streets of Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Yes, yes. So that's my advice. And in terms of my comedy schedule, I'm going to be in New York for the rest of July. Nice. Doing shows all over the town. You can find my schedule at www.comedybythegraham.com. My schedule is there. And then starting on August 1st to August 5th, I will be headlining the Toronto Yuck Yucks Downtown Comedy Club. And then on starting August 16th to the 19th, I am going to be in Pittsburgh. I believe I'm going to a comedy club there. I forget what it's called. Oh, geez. I'm going to look it up. I'll be in Pittsburgh doing stand-up comedy at a comedy club there, and I can't remember which one it is. Is it Helium? I don't know. I think it's Funny Bone. I think I'm at the Funny Bone in Pittsburgh. Oh, I'm bad at promoting.
You can
stuff.
Add him on anyway. Facebook. He'll plug it. I guess if we're doing August, I should say I'm gonna be at the Edinburgh Comedy Festival all of August, two shows a day, all month. If you're in Edinburgh, share, and if you have friends in Edinburgh, share and tag. That'd be great. I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, awesome. And I'm at Instagram K on Instagram. And I'm at Mr. Graham K on the Twitter. Kirk, what are you at?
Kirk Smith Comedy, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. That was the video again of that that new Instagram video of the BBC that I loved. Take a second to like us, share us, guys. Share the podcast. We appreciate the support. Have a great week. You can do it.